On this second Sunday of Lent, the Church puts before us the event of the Transfiguration, which is now the fourth luminous mystery of the Rosary, which we pray on Thursday. This event, according to Leo the Great, a Pope of the 4th century, was to bolster the faith of the Apostles, lest they become fearful with the imminent Passion of our Lord. Peter, James and John, the backbone of the apostolic band, were taken up a mountain. God often encounters us, or we have moments with God, on mountains, as was the case with Moses on Mount Sinai. And whilst there, according to Leo the Great, Elijah and the Moses appeared who represented the Old Covenant, prophets and prophecies and law. They were talking to our Lord about his imminent passion, and Leo says they were talking about all of those texts in the Old Covenant. We hear about the first covenant formed with Abraham in the first reading. And this is a covenant that embraces all monotheistic religions, because Jews and Muslims also point back to Abraham as the beginning. No wonder then that God prophesies that Abraham's descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Such was his heritage as father of faith. So from Abraham down, in those thousands of years, hundreds of references were made regarding the Messiah, the Christ who would come, where he would be born, where he would be raised, of what family line, what tribe, how he would suffer, die for our sins. So Moses and Elijah were discussing this with Christ, and the three apostles were there witnessing to this reality, although they were not fully tuned in because of the extraordinary event before them. They were overwhelmed and therefore becoming tired. And eventually those two figures of the Old Testament, the patriarchs, disappear, and a cloud comes in and they become afraid. And then their faith is bolstered by the Blessed Trinity. Jesus is the Son, the voice from heaven is the Father, and of course the shadow, the cloud, is the Holy Spirit. And this event touched their lives so much that they felt it so intimate and personal, they told not the others. They kept it a secret until later. It was to bolster their faith, to encourage them, lest they become fearful. Now, the experience they saw of Christ in glory, according to St. Bede, who gave us the first history of the English people, wasn't so much a glimpse of heaven. Why? He says, well, because the apostles could not yet see the divine realm. They had still physical eyes, as the case with us. We have physical eyes and we can't see ultraviolet rays. They do exist, but we can't see them. Some creatures can, but we cannot. So too, until we die and receive our glorious body, we shall not be able to see grace, the saints and the angels, or God in glory in heaven. That's beyond us now. So what did they see? Well, they saw Christ coming in glory as he will come at the end of time. His first coming at Bethlehem was private, hidden, personal. His second coming would be public, glorious, splendid. And he shall come as he came to these three apostles. And they were overwhelmed by his presence. So too shall we be if we are still present when Christ returns to earth. And we don't know the time nor the day. Furthermore, the two patriarchs, they were there spiritually, but in order that these apostles could see them, God obviously gave them their bodies. Whether they were resurrected is another question to be answered. The event has been well explained by the Church Fathers. What does that have to do with us on the second Sunday of Lent? It's simple, really, fear. We all have fears. Some are known, some are hidden. And the fear is different to a weakness, be it physical, emotional or psychological lies within. We're all weakened by original sin. We all have a predominant fault akin to one of the vices. And those weaknesses we feel daily lie within us. A fear is without. And as I put on the bulletin, a fear is of an impending evil, something that may happen, but has not yet happened. I know people who won't go in a plane because they are fearful it may come down. I know other people who won't clean a cupboard in the garage because they're fearful of spiders and they see cobwebs and therefore they're not going there. Have they been bitten? No. Will they be bitten? Well, maybe not. But the fear of being bitten, the fear is of something that has not yet happened but may happen. So a fear is not real in that regard. And many people have phobias. And I'm not going into the clinical study of phobias, but think about the fears we all partake of. The fear of perhaps losing our employment, the fear of an illness, the fear of cancer, the fear of a broken relationship, the fear of what will my child end up doing or becoming. All these fears can plague our heart. I know a woman who lives down the street who has a fear of you, not you personally, but people. She can't come to Mass because she can't leave the house, because she's afraid of going outside. She might meet other people. She can't cope with that, therefore she locks the doors and stays within. So what cripples us? I know some people who are fearful of dying. In fact, many people are fearful of death, judgment, heaven and hell. The big picture, where are we going? How shall we arrive? So the fears that plague us can cause anxiety, stress, and we need to be therefore encouraged. We need to be bolstered in our faith and to overcome these fears, to confront them and dispel those things which aren't real. Meet them face to face. And we do that by prayer, through prayer and in prayer. That's what Jesus did. He took them away to pray and showed them his glory, which was prayerful. That's why they wanted to stay on the mountain. They were so close personally to our Lord, so intimate with him, they didn't want to leave. And true prayer leaves us with that lingering feeling we want to go back. During Lent, we do three things. We practice self-control to control the wants of our physical pleasures. We give unto others with the works of mercy, but we also pray more during Lent. It's a time of intense prayer. Hence we have the Stations of the Cross on Friday when we meditate on how much Christ suffered for us. It was real. It's almost tangible. And going through the stations, it cannot but touch us within. It's a moment of prayer. Perhaps we can pick up the rosary if we've lapsed in that. Or perhaps we can even go and spend an hour at the Adoration Clinic in St. Pat's. They're always looking for more prayers. Go in. You don't perhaps know what to do. Well, pick up a book, be there, say some prayers, and let God talk to you. Maybe we can just tune out for a while and listen. And guaranteed, if you make the effort, you will leave after an hour refreshed within. Your problems won't be so enormous. There'll be greater clarity in your thinking. And guess what? Your fears may even be lessened. Why? Because you've shared them with the Lord, who knows your future and knows you. So let us pray that we make an effort to intensify our prayer in these few weeks of Lent. In doing so, our faith will be bolstered and our fear lessened. Praise be Jesus Christ.